This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 25th, episode 1132, brought to you by you, our auditors, our listeners. Thank you very much. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
So, Glenn, I feel like I'm a member of a pyramid scheme or something crazy right now.
Uh-oh, what'd you do?
Have you ever heard of Blue Apron? Probably not. So what it's a company that sends you ingredients for a meal, but like they plan like three meals a week and they send it to you every week, and it sends you like if the ingredients require 2 carrots, they send you 2 carrots. They send you everything you need for this one meal. No extras, no waste, no nothing. It's great. And so
Do they do vegan?
They do vegetarian, but I've been able to make everything vegan by leaving out the cheese or butter or whatever. My friend, it got me onto this because she sent me a free week of meals, and I guess it's designed to get you kind of sold on it. Well, I don't really love it. So I decided I wasn't going to buy it and not going to subscribe to this thing where every week they send you all these ingredients to cook your own fresh, delicious meals. So I go on the website to cancel, because to get your free week of meals, you have to give them your credit card number, of course, and your email and sign up for all this stuff. But I went on yesterday, and I couldn't get rid of the next week of meals. So I'm getting some more meals tomorrow, whether I like it or not. And they're about $20 a meal for two people, and actually got a little leftover. So it's not too super expensive. It's cheaper than going out to dinner. So I go on blueapron.com to cancel the membership yesterday. There's no cancellation button.
Of course
not. There's nowhere on the entire freaking website where you can cancel. I think I'm going to have to cancel my credit card to stop this thing.
And there's no phone number either, right? Because they're a new age web company. They don't do phone numbers.
No phone number, no nothing. No, seriously, nowhere on the entire website can you hit stop this train. I can't. I can't figure it out. If you guys can figure it out, please let me know, because there's nowhere. I am now going to get meals every week for the rest of my life until I cancel my credit card.
I'm on their website now, Blue Apron. And some of the meals do look good, but they cooked them. I mean, I wonder if they look the same if you cook them. So that's one thing. But so I'm on there, and it says, how do I cancel my account? And you're supposed to email this address. And then it says, you will receive an email back with instructions on how to close your account.
So I couldn't even get that far.
apparently, they don't want to make it easy.
No, I had to go on, and I've skipped my next month of meals. Like, I just hit skip, skip, skip. You know, and I think I'm going to have to do that for the rest of my life until my credit card expires.
And I love this, too. Please note, because we secure all deliveries 6 to 7 days in advance, you may still have a delivery scheduled. Now, you're going to send them what's going to happen here with this, and this is very clever, you're going to email them. Well, they're not going to get back to you with the cancellation email for about 3 or 4 days, which means you're into your next 6 or 7 days. So they're going to get you for 2 more weeks in the cancellation process, no matter what.
damn it. I looked at the menu for next week, and I'm like, ugh, gross. I don't want any sort of mushroom risotto thing. And then week after that is, like, sweet potato
what
something.
What happens
and
if you don't like? Like, I'm looking at here a two-person plan and what we're cooking for the week of March 30th. So let's say Jennifer and I did the whole week, okay? Let's just go through this real quick. She doesn't like lamb, so lamb meatball stew would be out on day one. We don't like fish, so cod would be out on day three. I don't even know what Japanese sweet potatoes are. I have no idea what they even are. And there's something I can't even say the name of it on Friday. It's Fragula? Sarga.
Let me tell you something, Glenn.
Sarga. Yeah.
Two of the three meals, well, actually, through all three meals, Chad and I had no idea what the hell we were eating. And I couldn't pronounce two.
And I hate chickpeas. So spiced chickpea burgers is Saturday's celebration. So
yum, anyway. That's delicious. That one actually was the only one that looked good to me, was the spiced chickpea burgers. But, yeah, I mean, it's really crazy stuff that you would never cook. But last night we had, because I finally had to cook it. And I was like, I didn't think it looked very good. It was beluga lentils with some sort of spice with soft boiled eggs. And I don't eat eggs or anything soft boiled. That sounds really terrible. And so Lucas wouldn't even eat the eggs. I was like, he loves eggs and he wouldn't even touch it. So it's not like you
don't have a few of your own eggs.
Exactly. And they send you, I mean, everything is sent to you. I mean, aside from, hey, use a teaspoon of olive oil, they don't send you that. But every ingredient, it's really a cool idea. I'm just not loving the menu all the time.
And you either, right? You get what you get.
Yeah, no, you get what you get. And you can select from, like, you like meat, you like whatever certain kinds of meat you like. You can say all fish, you can say vegetarian. So it's not bad. It's just
I switched to the family plan, and the first thing on Monday you get in the family plan is called chicken mole, M-O-L-E. Now, maybe that sounds appetizing to the people here who don't really know how farmers deal with moles all the time or don't know that a mole is a rodent. So
I think it's actually mole. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. My gosh, who knows?
It looks like chicken mole to me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, great! I get chicken and moles. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I have that.
Anyway, we spent way too much time on Blue Apron. Just know that if you guys are listening to this and you think, "Oh, that sounds great," you will get it for the rest of your life, and you will never be able to stop.
It's like a Skype account. You can't get rid of it.
Hey, Jamie, can I tell you about a new sponsor we have starting next week? It's this company that delivers food to your home.
Yeah. Sounds great. I love them.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Jennifer, please.
On today's So Close to Friday, We Can Taste It Wednesday edition, we'll start off with the velvet voice of Victoria Spicer with the Horse and Country TV European Report. And then mid-show, Steve Krause, head of farrier services at Cornell University College of Veterinary Medicine, is going to answer some listener questions. And the EquityMFG.com Really Bad Ads slides into home like the T-Ball Rookie of the Year. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. I have a very special Daily Whinny from all of us here at the Horse Radio Network to Frankie Lovato, our friend. I wanted to congratulate Frankie. He is now a grandpa again. And the child's name is Sadie Carmella. What a beautiful name, Sadie Carmella. So, there was a picture on Facebook of him holding the beautiful baby girl. So congratulations, Frankie. I know every grandchild is special, and so I just wanted to congratulate you, and I know he loves his grandkids, and I'm sure Peanut will have another girl to ride, you know, to ride him now. So so congratulations to Frankie Lovato.
Well, I have to talk about it today, and I have to give my daily whinny out to California Chrome. Woo woo! Yes, that's right. This coming weekend is the Dubai World Cup, the $10 million Dubai World Cup. Overall, American trainers have sent 14 horses to Dubai for the 8 thoroughbred races, saying none of them are going to be easy. Fox Sports really broke it down really well and says that California Chrome is the first U.S. horse to ship over to Dubai since Curlin in 2008. I didn't realize it had been that long.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. He is the only horse, he is looking to repeat the Animal Kingdom's 2011 Derby win to go and, I don't know, did Animal Kingdom live over there? That doesn't make any sense. Sorry, let me move on. California Chrome hasn't won on the dirt since the Preakness, but he was still way ahead of the third place finisher in the Preakness, so they're saying he can still run very well on the surface. Another U.S. horse that's going to be there is a horse named My Johnny Be Good. And he is going to be in the race that is called the UAE Derby. And if he wins this race, he's going to be the first horse trained by a U.S.-based trainer to ever win that race. And then our dear friend, 2014 Eclipse Award winner, champion open older male, who we love, Main Sequence, is looking to become the first U.S.-based horse to win the Dubai Shima Classic. So he, Main Sequence did spend some of his first years in England. So he has traveled across the world and been very successful. So look for the Dubai Shima Classic victor to be Main Sequence. And we'll definitely let you guys know what's going on. It's hard to pronounce all this stuff. The horse that's going against California Chrome to look for is a horse named African Story. He won it last year, and he's going to be the first horse to ever attempt to win it 2 years in a row. So there's a lot of firsts, and it's going to be exciting.
Very good. We have a giveaway to do right now, and we have $300 worth of tickets to Road to the Horse. I realize it's short notice, but if you live in the Lexington area, or you can get to the Lexington area, you live in Ohio or one of the surrounding states, then we have the two tickets, really good seats, actually. They're $150 each for the whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of Road to the Horse, and we're giving those away today. What we need you to do is one of two things, and it's we're going to take the third person to do this.
No.
Call.
You let me do this.
No?
Let me do this. Okay.
I'll let you do it. All right.
When you hear the sounder of Glenn talking about My Little Pony, be the 99th caller into 347-637-3238, and you're going to win a pair of tickets to Road to the Horse. When you hear this, I'm hitting it. This definitely happened in real radio. There we
ding,
go.
Ding, 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 ding. My Little Pony. My Little Pony.
So we're going to play that, and when you hear that coming up, be the 99th caller to 347-637-3238 and win a pair of tickets to Road to the Horse. It could be you, people.
Hey, can you play it? Because we really wanted to call that. My Little Pony. My Little Pony. Thank you.
There
and
you
actually,
go.
I think Jennifer will take a caller sooner than 99 because that I take all morning. So just call us, and one of you is going to win. If you want these tickets, they're really good seats. Give us a call, and Jennifer will get you set up, and we'll meet
awesome.
You there personally Friday morning to give them to you, or Saturday,
there's
whichever day you get
person,
there.
There's one person that lives in the Lexington area that's listening right now that goes, yeah, I want tickets, and they're going to call, and Jennifer's going to be like, okay, call back 98 more times. I have to take caller 99. Do that, Jennifer. That'd be awesome.
So that's coming up. There are calls coming in. So Jennifer can
Yay!
Handle that right now. I knew somebody would want free tickets. That's $300 worth of free tickets. That's not shabby, you know.
Call
I don't know if
you
it
asked
you to,
99 times.
Yeah, I don't know if it asks you to press 1 anymore. Did you get that where you can get into the host queue if you press 1? Does it do that? Blog Talk changed it. I don't know.
No.
Jennifer, you just might have to guess on who's sitting on hold and who listening to the show
still,
and who's calling in.
It still works. If you press 1, you will get into the call into the host's queue. It simply does not prompt you to do so. It's a top secret method that only people who are actually
they need
listening
it
to
top
the show
secret.
Know about.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, it looks like you have some people who have figured the top secret message out. Press one if you want to be in the queue. All right, let's go right to Victoria. We are going to get the review of the SpongeBob movie. We've been talking about this every show we've done for what seems like forever and never gotten to it, but I got to hear how it was because I read some kind of negative reviews about it, and I want to see what you thought. Not that I'm a SpongeBob fan, I have to admit, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. I got to find Victoria on this list of callers. Let me see. I'm totally unorganized this morning. It does seem like Friday.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
Well, good morning, Victoria Spicer of Horse and Country TV.
Good morning.
Morning. I read this first. It was so funny because when I saw what Jennifer put in the show notes, the title is Tougher Fly Grazing Laws Passed in England. And I'm going, wow, English horses eat flies? Because that's what it sounds like.
Or
it sounds like you're grazing on flies.
Or it could be flies that are grazing on grass. That would also work.
Yeah, that's true.
We have fields of flies, yes. No, fly grazing is a bit like fly tipping. I don't know if you guys use that term either. But people that just see a spot of land and think that's fair game and put all their horses on it and then kind of disappear. So that's what.
Well, no, that's not allowed here. Your horses get shot in the United States for that. So, no, that you can't just find a neighbor's yard and throw your horses on it.
Well, I think it tends to be less neighbor's land yards, but public spaces, wasteland, kind of scrubland, or maybe farmers' fields or moorland.
Wait a minute. You mean that happens, that people bring their horses and dump them off on some farmer's field that doesn't look used?
Absolutely. And I read today that an estimated 3,000 horses and ponies in Britain are being grazed in this fashion. And, of course, then they're not getting looked after. They're not getting daily checks. They often don't have enough food and water. Their hooves are a mess. Then you get more and more interbreeding, which produces even more horses being fly grazed and abandoned. So it's a real, real issue. They've cracked down on it in Wales last year with the Control of Horses Act, and now they're passing a new bill in England so that if horses are abandoned in that fashion, then charities have the right to remove them.
Did you know about this, Jamie? I'd never heard of this.
No, never.
I guess because you guys have got such a huge country and space isn't at such a premium, whereas, you know, in the UK's got 60 million people living in actually a very small country. And I guess, you know, land is at a premium. And if people want to own horses but don't have any land, they just put them where they want to put them.
Wait a second. Yes. You know what? I did see this, but I thought only gypsies did this.
Yeah, I'd say that is the predominant sector of society.
Okay. When we were in Spain, when we were trail riding, we would come across just horses. And I'm like, are those wild horses? And they're like, no, those are the gypsies horses. And I thought, there's gypsies are real? I didn't realize that gypsies were real.
They are real.
I don't know.
Yes.
So interesting. Tougher laws.
Yes, indeed. So we won't just have horses grazing on parks like you can see in the picture on our
That's awesome.
Site. Yeah.
Well, you know what? We do have gypsies. They just drive old Cadillacs here. They don't have horses. They drive old Cadillacs. And they'll replace your roof for a very cheap price.
Here in the UK, there's a huge traveling community. And there's a real love of horses and a real kind of historical thing of gypsies and owning horses, and it's a kind of sign of pride and status and things, and they can sell for a lot of money, like quite ordinary looking ponies and cobs. They can change hands for quite a lot of money, but then there are like lots of welfare concerns as well, a bit like these horses are getting dumped in fields, and it's kind of putting a lot of pressure on our charities. So there's a bit of a kind of two sides to that story, really, here in the UK.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. We learn something new every day from you, Victoria. Every
okay.
time you call. Just goes to show you there is a difference in countries, isn't there?
There is indeed.
Now, how about British show jumpers enjoy wins abroad? Are you taking our money again?
For once, it's not over in the U.S. It is on the continent, and lots of our top show jumpers and event riders and dressage riders disappear off at this time of year because there's not much happening in the U.K. and it's freezing. So they all go Italy or the Spanish Sunshine Tour or Portuguese Sunshine Tour and compete over there where they can make more prize money. And one of our up-and-coming riders, Jessica Mendoza, who is only 18, so a real baby, she went and won a class of 60 horses in it. That's quite impressive.
Hope you broke up a little bit there.
Am I back? Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better. Yep.
Oh, good. Yes, so an 18-year-old winning a major class out in Italy, so very impressive for her.
Very good, yeah. And you know what? You guys really didn't. There, not a lot of British riders came over to the United States, although we've had a few Irish guys win some money down here just over the weekend at Live Oaks. So it looks like the Irish guys were taking home some money this time.
Yeah, the Irish are doing really well at the moment, especially Bertram Allen. The one to look out for. He's another incredibly young rider. I think he's still in his and he's got a great string of horses and he is just phenomenally successful. He's won two FEI World Cup legs so far this season. He won the opening class at the World Equestrian Games, so he's definitely one to keep an eye out for.
Very good. And then the Longines Hong Kong Masters. I didn't know they did a Masters in Hong Kong.
Yeah, they do, and it's been going for quite a while, I think, and but we wanted to share this video because it's just amazing. It is John Whittaker, who is not in his first flush of youth, and yet you just see how good he is in this video. He's just amazing, and the way he rides that jump off, it goes to show why he's won so much over the years, and he's still going strong at nearly 60.
Very good. And then the last thing on your list, your connection's not the best today, so I'm kind of rushing along here before we totally lose you, is your editor's blog, The Skill of Showing.
Yes, well, if you want to find out how I got on when I took my six-year-old X-ray source to her first lesson about the show ring and everything that's involved, you can read it. It doesn't quite go to plan.
She's that girl.
That girl. Wait a minute. We have sound for you. Let's find it. Do you have it, Jamie? We have to play it. We've never played it for Victoria before because she's always suave and sophisticated. And there we go.
I don't want to be that girl. Best girl.
There you go. Welcome to the club, Victoria.
Oh, yes. No. On Saturday, I didn't know who I wanted to be, but it wasn't me. It was quite embarrassing. My horse was
No. Okay, I'm reading this, and here it goes. And then it started. Four horses in a big open arena equals meltdown for Rosie. I love it.
It's funny because, you know, I do a bit of eventing, and my yard manager is a very good eventer, and she's always like, oh, why do you care about showing? And I did it when I was a teenager and growing up, and I do think it's a really good education for a horse, and it's all very well taking them to a show and working away in a corner of the warm-up and minding your own business and staying away from other horses, but suddenly in the show ring, your horse has to behave while a dozen other horses are all walking, trotting and cantering round, and it can just be very exciting for them. So, yes, I find that my lovely little mare, however pretty she is not going to be a showing star anytime soon.
I love this because this is Edward. This is the exact horse that I ride. So we can commiserate together, but I love this. And then we were lined up in order. Fidget, paw, spin, fidget, paw, spin. Yeah, I get it. I did it. Throw in a couple, like, hard kicks, and you've got Edward. I love it. Perfect. And
yeah.
Other horses just stand there like your horse isn't even there. Like, they don't even care that your horse is being an idiot, and your horse doesn't care that everybody else is calm. I don't know why that happens.
Well, I had very much hoped, because I knew that she was quite a fidget and doesn't really stand still, but I'd hoped that when you have a lineup of horses and they are all standing still, that mine would start to relax and think, well, there's nothing to worry about and all these horses are okay, so I will be too. But no, it made no difference whatsoever. And she kept pawing really dramatically and was obviously digging a hole in the arena, so I didn't want to get told off. So I like had my showing stick and I would just kind of like tap her on the leg to stop her pawing. And after I did that like three times, if I even like brushed it against her, she would stand on her hind legs and wave her front legs in the air.
Oh, great. That's not good. You know what they were saying about you? They were all like, after, they were going, you know, I think that's that girl from Horse and Country TV.
I purposely didn't say much about it before I went, and then I thought, I am going to do a write-up about it. But I saw somebody else comment after the lesson, and they were like, my horse is very good, but some of them weren't. I was like, that's why I took her to a lesson and not to a show, because if you're going to be humiliated, it's better to be humiliated in a lesson instead of a competition. So that was my theory.
That was your problem, Jamie. You got it wrong. That's where you got it wrong.
I did. I screwed up.
You went right to the competition where 1,000 people would go, isn't she that girl from the radio?
No. Nobody does that, because you told me a long time ago I was not allowed to advertise that I was from the Horse Radio Network. And he gave me a saddle pad that has Horse Radio Network on it, Victoria, and told me I wasn't allowed to wear it.
Until you were competing at 4-star level, then you're
that's right.
Allowed to wear it.
Exactly.
Stop being that girl, and then she can wear it.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this show for 5 years, Victoria. She's still not allowed to wear that pad.
Oh, Jamie, so. Let's start our own club together.
Yeah, I know, right? Big
club.
Hug. Big hug.
I was going to send Victoria a pad, but now I'm not. I'm not sending her one either. So if anybody out there is riding really well and is not that girl, let me know. And we can finally advertise.
The thing is, I had my former X-ray horse, and I went through that stage of him being a baby, and he just got to 9 and was nice and reliable, and you could take him and realize he was going to be fine. And then obviously I started again with another baby, so it's my own fault. I should actually stick with them and enjoy it when they actually know how to behave, instead of putting myself through the punishment and humiliation of producing a youngster. But I never
learned. You're right, we do that, because I did the same thing with Jet. I finally got him nice and calm, and then I sold him. So my husband is like, why are you always that girl? Like, why are you always the one on the crazy horse? I'm like, well, some of us, it's just, you know, our job. We got
to
fix him for other people.
There has to be a that girl. Somebody has to be that girl. Yeah.
Somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to volunteer. And, you know, you might as well pick somebody whose ego is so crushed to begin with, it doesn't matter. So you guys are just right in there.
Thanks, Glenn.
You're welcome. Victoria, you have a crappy connection this week, so we're just going to let you go. Thank you so much for joining us and for being that girl.
My pleasure. I'm hoping it will be better next week, and I will see.
Victoria from horseandcountry.tv. Some weeks it's good with her connection, and other weeks it's she's that girl. See? It always happens.
I love, though, that as proper and educated and journalistic as she is, she still takes the time out to tell us about her nightmares on her horse. Like, you know, she doesn't have to do that, but she does, and I love her for that.
We know exactly who we are. I mean, we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's no question about that. I was reading, actually, that ties into this. I was reading BuzzFeed this morning, and they had, and you like Seinfeld, right? You're a big Seinfeld person like we are.
Oh, yeah.
It's one we can actually agree on. And they had this thing, 21 pieces of career advice from Seinfeld. And one of them was, let me see, I'm scrolling down. One of them was, be who you are and don't fake it. Well, there you go. It's good career advice, Jamie. You're exactly who you are. Don't claim to be anything.
You can't make stuff like this up, you know? So it's just good for Victoria. Love it.
Hey, we have a winner. Our winner is Jody from Ohio, is going to be coming down. It looks like to Lexington for the weekend, enjoying Road to the Horse. And we have your two tickets, Jody. Thank you so much. people that called. And we'll be looking forward to meeting you and seeing you, and hopefully you'll enjoy your lovely weekend at the Road to the Horse, the Kentucky Horse Park.
That's awesome. Next. Congratulations, Jody. Yeah. She lives in Ohio, so she can just, like, you know what? Let's just drive there. Let's go for
just
it.
Go on
cool.
down. Yeah, that's terrific. Let's take a break for a sponsor, and then we're going to come back with our second guest today. We're going to talk a little bit about horses' feet. I don't use that other word anymore.
Yeah, because you pronounce it wrong.
The
so horses
are our horses, and Dr. Ellison of Bimedia Equine is helping us make sure we are doing it right. Listen for his four-part series the first week of every month on this very show. I just wanted to remind everyone, if you are due for deworming, why not save a few bucks on the popular Bimedia line of wormers, including Equimax, Bimectin, Exodus, Exodus Multidose, and Equil. You can find coupons and special offers at buymediaequine.com, including a variety of rebate offers from cash to free ivermectin. You can also get up to $2 a dose back for Equimax. And while you're at buymediaequine, get your free horse health record keeper, and you can just download it there. Plus, learn a bunch about parasites and deworming at buymedia, that's buymediaequine.com. We at the Horse Radio Network all use Bimedia dewormers because we want the best for our horses, and we know you want the best for yours, too. BimediaEquine.com, and tell them the Horse Radio Network sent you. Well, thank you to Bimedia for their support of the Horse Radio Network. Well, we are we're going to be getting to our next guest here in just a minute. I wanted to mention that on the driving radio show that just came out, I did it with David Saunders, your friend, and we did the show, and he got an interview with the most fascinating guy that you'll hear on this show. His name is Graham Ware. He's from Australia. David and Gloria were down there driving horses in Australia, and they met this guy. He is an animal wrangler for the movies in Australia. Well, if you know that in Australia and New Zealand, there's been a ton of movies made there recently. And he talks all about making movies, and he provides the horses and other animals for movies down there. And he's working with Johnny Depp right now on the next Pirates movie.
There's another Pirates movie? That's like, yeah. That's
I know, it's like number five, I think. Yeah, they're doing another one. They're filming it all in Australia, so he's working with them. You know all the scenes where Johnny Depp comes into town and then they pillage the town? Well, they need horses for all those city scenes and stuff, so he brings all the animals in for that. And he is stunt doubled for some famous people, too. And also, he stunt doubled for Jackie Chan in a movie they made in China. And you'll hear a little bit about how Chinese treat their animals during movies. He didn't hold back on that. So, yeah, it was a great interview, and David put that together. It's a driving radio show now out, episode 194. So check that out if you're into hearing more about movie making.
Now, just because every single girl listening to this show's ears perked up when you said he did movies in Australia, was he a part of The Man from Snowy River?
I have no idea about that because it's not a movie that us guys asked about. We did ask about, of the Lord of the Rings movies, and so he helped with all those, providing the ponies for all of those and all that those things. And but we never brought up The Man from Snowy River. It's probably
you
not one David has
You should be ashamed
David
of yourself. What's his name?
His name is, Graham Ware.
Graham Ware. He doesn't sound familiar because some of us have studied the credits after The Man from Snowy River, and that name doesn't sound familiar. So I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm sorry that's not one that comes first to mind for me when I think about cool movies.
You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself. I'm going to go straight to our next guest right now. Steve probably has seen The Man from Snowy River like 150
bet
times.
He hasn't. I bet you $10 he hasn't seen that movie.
Ever? I bet you
yes,
have.
Ever.
Okay.
All right. Let's
$10.
Find out.
$10.
Right.
Steve Krause, head of farrier services at Cornell University. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. And yes, I've seen The Man from Snowy River more than once, and I actually talked to the guy who shot the horse that rode down the mountain.
Oh, my gosh. What did he say about it? First of all, Glenn, put $10 in my next paycheck. Second of all, okay. Tell us about what you just said.
I actually talked to the guy who did the shoeing for the horse that rode down the mountain.
Denny, yeah, obviously that's like the greatest horse on the entire planet. Now, I thought you said when he got shot, which is a spoiler alert
shot,
for the second one.
No, shot, S-H-O-D. Put the shoes on.
Well, he got shot
there's
in
a difference.
The second one. So it worked out both ways. What did he think about that horse? Oh, my gosh, now this is what we're going to talk about.
He said that they did that scene in one shot. They had all the cameras going. The rider, that went down said, I'm only going to do this once. And they prepared the horse, they prepared the cameras, and they shot the scene.
Was it Tom Burlington? Because his face is pretty much on the horse as they're going down.
I don't know the answer to that. I thought it was a different rider from the way he indicated. But he told me he shot the horse.
Wow.
Shot past him too.
Yeah. Yeah, gotcha. Shot him. Yeah. That's amazing. Oh, how cool. I did find out that two of the horses that were in that movie are still alive. And they're like 36 years old.
Wow. Well, they're hardy horses.
They really are. Well, hi. Welcome, Steve. Thank you for proving my point, and I really appreciate it. How are you?
Steve's breaking up. We're going to have to get him another time because he answered the question incorrectly.
I'm going to put you on mute, Glenn. So how are you? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said I try to just present the facts as I know them.
The best way. Well, Steve, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you've been on the show before, but I don't think I was on that episode. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You're the head of farrier services at Cornell.
Yes, it's the Cornell University Veterinary College. We have a program here that's 100-year-old program, oldest in the country. We have a farrier school here where we take a select number of, four students per session to teach farriers. We also teach veterinary students about shoeing and horses' feet and lameness issues and so on. And we do all the farrier services for the university, which includes, working on the horses that come into the veterinary hospital for lameness and injury. We do the shoes for the Cornell equestrian team and the Cornell polo team. And the equine research programs here. So we maintain all these university-owned horses, which are practice horses for the students, and provide farrier services for horses in the region that come in with problems and so on.
So mainly just troubleshooting and problem horses, no just regular shoeing outside of...
Yeah, I mean, there's normal horses and there's not so normal horses. So, we provide what services that are needed. Most people, if they're going to bring a horse in here, are not bringing in the average horse. They're bringing in a horse with a problem. But we have more normal horses for the polo team, the equestrian team, and so on that the students can work on.
You know what this sounds like? It sounds like I needed to go to Cornell because, first of all, I could never get in. But second, you've got a polo team and an equestrian team and all that at Cornell?
Yes.
Wow. How cool. How cool. Now, I've got
to ask there's a men's and women's polo team, and they are currently the Northeast Regional Champions, and they will be going to the National Championships at the University of Connecticut in 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh, how cool. But Jennifer, we need to follow up, or my producer Jennifer, we need to follow up on that and find out who's gonna win that's awesome. I didn't even realize. So you guys are busy with all those polo ponies.
Yes.
Yes. Now, we had a couple listener questions. We just wanted to talk a little bit about, because you do shoe so many problem horses. A listener named Marcy wrote in with a question about what is a quarter crack, why do racehorses get them so often, and are all cracks in the hoof wall a problem?
All right, there's several parts to the answer to this. A quarter crack is a crack that is in the part of the foot that's called the quarter, which is usually the back third of the foot, and it's usually a horizontal crack as opposed to a toe crack, which is right in the front of the foot. And so, you know, what we call it kind of defines where it is. And most quarter cracks occur on the insides of horses that are base wide and toed out. And if a horse is base narrow and toed in, they're going to occur on the outside towards the heel. So if you drop a plumb line down from the center of the horse's shoulder, especially on a base wide toed out horse, it'll come right where the quarter crack is going to be or is. So conformation is a cause of quarter crack, or imbalance trimming and shoeing could be also a cause.
Okay.
So that's like one part of it. All cracks are not terrible. Sometimes there are surface cracks that are very superficial that have a lot to do with the, you know, moisture changing of horses' feet. And you see some of these surface cracks that usually don't amount to much, but they should certainly be monitored. But a real quarter crack which penetrates the whole wall can become infected, can do damage, and that needs to be, you know, repaired and taken care of properly.
Okay. And do you suggest for the quarter cracks, but also just in general, hot shoeing versus cold shoeing? What is the benefit to hot shoeing versus cold shoeing, or is there?
Well, there's two parts to that. Now, there's we teach that there's hot shaping of the shoes versus hot fitting. So one can work the shoes hot to get a better shape, an easier way to shape it. Steel is, you know, easier to shape and forge when it's hot. There are certain pre-made shoes that are heavy enough that you cannot shape them adequately cold, whereas light shoes can be shaped pretty easily cold. So depending on the kind of shoes horse needs, some guys prefer to do all their shaping hot because it's easier on their wrist and elbow. Some people don't have a forge to do it, and they might use lighter shoes, so they're shaping cold, but if they do an adequate job of shaping the proper shape. The thing you cannot do cold is do some of the modifications that we do, like putting a roll toe or a square toe or a rocker toe, or produce some side clips or any of the other standard modifications that we teach here that can only be done when the metal is hot enough to forge. So that's hot shaping. Then we get into hot fitting, where we actually have a shoe where we want to see if it check how well it fits. Maybe we want have a toe clip or a side clip. We want to burn a little place for it. So now we're touching that warm shoe to the horse's foot, and we're causing a little smoke and sizzle, which some horses might object to. But mm-hmm. It's amazing how many horses don't seem to bother if you don't go at it too hard. And the benefits of hot fitting is, number one, you can check your shape and then alter it while it's still hot, alter the shoe while it's still hot. You also are getting a nice airtight flat fit because you're scorching anything that's still a little bit high and not flat, and you can see where you need to either rasp a little more hoof away. And in very wet climates, you're going to be sealing up, like almost like cauterizing, the end of the horn tubules, which are actually, you know, conducting water in and out of the foot. So you can actually tighten a foot up, especially in these wet climates. And in excessively dry climates, the feet are so hard, it's very hard to rasp to get a hot foot. But you can burn a nice flat foot on there. So in extreme climates, it's really useful. The other thing about the wet climates is there's a lot of fungi and bacteria and stuff that's around, and you're going to kill all that stuff that's trying to grow and invade and deteriorate the horse's foot by hot fitting. So hot fitting is very useful if it's used appropriately.
Okay, I've had horses for 30 years, and I have never heard an explanation that good about hot shoeing. Thank you so much for that.
That's our job here, is to, you know, define these things and teach them so that the students leave with a good understanding of what they're doing and not doing something just because they saw it in a book or saw it, you know, somebody else do it.
The way you explained it, it's like you should work at a university and teach this stuff. It's amazing.
Well.
No, so I got to ask, too, when you're shoeing all these polo ponies, do the polo ponies have any certain special type of shoes? Do you just shoe them all the way around? Do they have borium? Do they have cleat? I mean, do they have, like, do you drill and tap them? What do you do different?
All right, now we're getting in another question that has lots of parts. Okay,
oh, sorry.
we're playing arena polo here at Cornell, which is indoor arena polo, which is similar but not the same as outdoor polo. So arena polo is usually what's played in the collegiate realm and is popular, you know, in what we call club polo beyond the collegiates, whereas outdoor polo is played on a polo field that's like 9 football fields. You know, it's 300 yards by 150 yards. So you have galloping horses, whereas arena polo is quick, explosive, a lot of quick turns, a lot of physical contact, but it's easier to see it because it's in such a smaller area. So the Cornell polo horses in our arena, the footing is so good, we only shoe the fronts on most of the horses. Every now and then, we have to shoe a horse behind to keep his feet together. And we use what's called a rim-style shoe, which is made to kind of like bite into the surface a little bit to give him some traction. And I'd say some of these horses might get hind shoes just to help with their feet, but they really don't need the traction. As you get into outdoor polo, then you need hind shoes 100% of the time, I would say, with little projections called heel caulks. So, you know, they're factory made, what's called dull heel caulks. And if you ever try to stop and turn a horse at a gallop without that, you're going to slide and probably go down. So you can be more competitive with properly shod heel caulk shoes behind. Now, borium is specifically illegal for polo. Heel caulks are only allowed on the hind only. And up until about 2 years ago, that was all that was allowed. And recently they changed the rule that you can use what's called removable screw caulks on the hinds of polo horses, so that they can vary the traction for the surfaces, just like event horses do, and take them out when they're not, being used. So it's kind of like a good thing, if it's done right, to be able to remove the screw caulks when you don't need them. But the professionals really do appreciate that, because they're very competitive, and they might need a bigger caulk than usual for the field conditions to be competitive and stay safe. But again, they'd want to remove it after they're done playing. So it's the best of both worlds doing that.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I'm an eventer, and when you do have more rain and everything, you need bigger studs for playing in the rain. I don't know if do they play in the rain much in, or is it just like more like softer field conditions?
Not likely going to play in anything beyond a light drizzle because the field conditions get too slippery. And not only that, but then you tear the field up a lot. And I say the borium, it was disallowed, and any kind of screw caulk on front or anything that's sharp, because the horses are in very close contact. They don't want to see a horse like, especially on a front foot, you know, galloping and maybe cutting another horse that's riding alongside. So, you know, the traction has to be very, very specific for polo horses.
That is, that's so interesting. So the bottom line is, at some point, just 2 years ago, you started being able to remove I guess I call them studs, you call them caulks, I guess.
Right.
That's so fascinating. Just 2 years ago, they caught up finally, didn't they?
Well, you know, it's just a matter of demand, mostly from the higher level professionals. That they needed more than was allowed to stay safe. And,
gotcha.
You know, what we used to do, we used to modify the dull caulks for some of the professionals I used to shoot for in Florida, and we used to just rearrange the metal and just bump it up to make a bigger caulk for them. And, again, they are playing at racehorse speed, they're galloping, and they're defying the laws of physics at times. and they need help.
Right.
But too much traction can also hurt a horse if it's not ridden properly. So, you know, everything's a two-edged sword, especially with traction.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, this has been absolutely interesting. Thank you for answering our listener questions and my questions. And we're talking, of course, to Steve Krause, head of farrier services at Cornell University. You have the absolute right job, my friend. Well done. It's fascinating listening to you.
Well, it's my honor to be on your show, and I'm happy to help out.
Thank you so much, and we will hopefully get to talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, next week, I think.
Fantastic. Well, we'll talk to you next week. Steve Krause, thank you so much. Have a great morning.
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye. I've never heard an explanation of hot chewing versus cold chewing versus hot fitting that was that good. That's amazing. Glenn, are you
amazing.
Here?
Glenn doesn't realize he's not talking right now, no.
I'm here. I'm back. Sorry. Yeah, there aren't a lot of farriers that do hot chewing anymore. So
no,
I know, and it's hard to find a farrier who does hot shaping anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, you know, that used to be the only farriers I would hire when I lived in Georgia was a farrier that hot shod, because I felt like they would be educated more. Because you can't just make that up. You have to really know what you're doing. And I had an awesome farrier in Atlanta. But it made sense to hot shoe a lot more because it was very a much more humid and wet and kind of muddy climate. But here, out here, nobody hot shoes. And I think it's because it's too damn hot already. No farrier wants to stand in front of a forge in 115 degrees. So I had to, and now I've learned that there's benefits of cold chewing because my farrier does a fantastic job. I've never had one complaint, and she cold chews. So just wanted to know the difference, and I hope that you guys all learned something. I know I did.
I know when I met Jennifer, we had a real blacksmith as a farrier then, and, you know, he actually made knives, and, you know, he was a blacksmith. And we had our Percheron. Well, at the one point, because his feet were so bad, we needed to put shoes on him. And there were no standard shoes to fit him, so he actually took the rods of steel and made the shoes from scratch, and that was fun to watch. Expensive, but fun to watch.
I was going to say, I'm sure it was cheap.
Yeah,
very
no.
Affordable.
4 shoes for a Percheron, yep. Size, pie plate, but it was fun to watch him make those shoes because it really is art, the guys who can do it well.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Well, speaking of making things well, there's nobody that makes a manure spreader better than Mill Creek. We're going to hear from them, and we're going to do a little song, and then we're coming back with really bad ads because it's Friday, and we're going to be back with that. Actually, it's Wednesday, but you know, we're going to do it early. They've made the best even better. Mill Creek Manufacturing is now the first and only company to make stainless steel compact manure spreaders. What does that mean for you? A worry-free solution to your manure management for years to come. Often if a body on a spreader rusts, it's time for a new one. And we've had that happen. We certainly had some old spreaders that rusted out. Mill Creek stainless steel spreaders are guaranteed not to rust through for life. These are the only compact manure spreaders you'll find anywhere with a warranty like that. There's also a 3-year warranty on the mechanics and structure. Put this together with Mill Creek's exclusive low-maintenance sealed bearings, and you've got a machine that you can count on to perform day in and day out with no headaches for you. The stainless steel option is available on 6 of Mill Creek's models, from the popular 27, suitable for up to 4 horses, to the Big Daddy 127 for over 20 horses. 2 of the models can be ordered with either ground or PTO drive. Like all Mill Creek spreaders, stainless steel spreaders have the lowest sides in the industry for easy manure loading. You can't go wrong with any Mill Creek manure spreader, but the new stainless steel models are truly something special. You've never seen anything like them before. Mill Creek has been in business for almost 30 years, and they've continuously improved their designs with horse owners in mind. Horse owners like you and I, who appreciate the best quality, best engineered machines on the market. When you call Mill Creek, you'll reach them at their own factory in Pennsylvania. That's right, not in India, but in Pennsylvania, because they're all made in the USA. Give them a call today at 800-311-1323 or visit their website at millcreekspreaders.com. That's millcreekspreaders.com.
Bad situation. So far in, I can't find my way out. Seems I've gone from bad to worse, to desperation. And I pray as hard as I can pray. I know help is on the way, but I'm in a dive and falling fast. Is it too much to ask?
That was Templeton Thompson, Something with Wings. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. And this show is brought to you by you, our auditors. We certainly appreciate your support. And we will be, Tim Baker will be here tomorrow doing a reading of one of our listeners' horses. I'm not sure who it is this time, but I'm sure that'll be fun. And then we'll be coming to you live Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yes, weekend shows this weekend on Horses in the Morning from Road to the Horse. So you can take a look at us all weekend long. We'll be posting pictures on our Facebook page, and I'm sure we'll be hanging out with some listeners, so it'll be a lot of fun. That'll be coming up. We're heading to Lexington right after the show today. Which means
Wow. We
have to get right at it, Jamie.
I say pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading.
Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading, they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading, well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right, it is time for Really Bad Ads. Yes, I know it's not Friday, it's actually Wednesday. But because we're going to be at Road to the Horse on Friday, we had to bump it up till today. And we didn't want you to miss.
You've got a long drive ahead of you of sleeping, Glenn. From what I understand and I heard at the beginning of the show, before the show started, is that Jennifer drives and Glenn sleeps.
Yeah, isn't that a perfect arrangement? It is a perfect arrangement. Every guy should have a woman that drives the whole way. Perfect.
Uh-uh.
And I'm a good car sleeper, too. I am really good at it. I can be asleep in 5 seconds.
Not fair.
Just like, I even sleep when I drive.
I can't even sleep in my bed.
Yeah.
Autopilot.
Really Bad Ads is the time when our listeners submit really bad, usually Craigslist ads to us, and we just have a little fun with them. And it is brought to you by EquityMFG.com every single week. And, of course, they're the maker of the best manure forks in the country. We're going to have Diane with us, who is one of the pair of the couple that runs EquityMFG.com, true horse person herself, and they were the ones that designed it, all the manure forks, and had done a terrific job with them. I was using mine yesterday as we were getting everything cleaned up before we were heading out for Lexington. So it works great even after 3 years. Haven't had any trouble with it. I have noticed that our handle might be starting to fray a little bit, but I think it's partly because the squirrels have now figured out that where the forks hang on the wall of the barn, they can climb up the forks and then hit the runway that is the top of the stalls of the barn. So I think now we're seeing little scratch marks in the handles. So I don't know how long the handle's going to last with the squirrels digging the heck out of them. But we'll find out how tough they are.
I guess they have to go sometime.
They do use the forks as a ladder. It's so funny. Well, now we're going to talk to Diane here after the show, and she is also going to draw a winning number, and it will correspond to a winning name of somebody who has submitted an ad this month. They didn't have to win that week or anything. It's just everybody that submitted ads are going to be put in, all 126 of you, and one of you has a chance of winning a Flexen fork today. So we'll talk to her about that in just a few minutes. Today's winner, however, will win a box of crap out of my closet. That's right, the coveted box of crap is today's prize. All right, let's get started. First one was sent in by Chelsea. Chelsea Crawley sent this in. Horse for sale, $1,700 in Concord. I have one of the best black Corvettes I have seen in a while for you. She is registered European 2005 model, very fast. Has some miles on her, but she will last you many, many more. Lives off the cheapest gas, no premium required. Turns on a dime and has superb brakes. She recently has been inspected. I just buffed her the other day. I can include all you need to get her going in the sale. Just want her to go somewhere, she'll be used. The price is negotiable, will increase with more mileage she gets. So if you want an easy keeper, a great stopper, and cheap MPG, horse named Corvette is for you. Shoot me an email. Now, that's a clever ad, but it really doesn't say what breed or anything, does it? The European model could be anything, though.
Really doesn't tell you anything about the
No, it really doesn't.
That is the stupidest ad I've ever heard. What a waste of time. You're talking to the wrong people.
I went for it was clever, but you're right. Horse girls are usually not car girls, so they totally won't get what any of that was about.
Missed the mark there. This is some guy that thinks he's funny.
You're right. I bet you this was a guy. I finally agree with you on that one. If they had made it about a dually Dodge Ram, it would have been perfectly understandable to the horse girls out there.
Well, name him Dually, not Corvette.
Yeah, exactly.
That was stupid. Yeah,
truck medical.
We don't care.
That's sports car medical.
It doesn't even make. I mean, it basically just tells you it's a mare that was born in. It's 10 years old, born in 2005. That's so stupid. Okay, Let's move on to the next one. Chelsea, good ad, because you didn't write it. You just sent it in. This is some guy. Robin sent in the next one, and with the side note that says, Alfredo is a man of few words. And that is very true. Buggy, $600 in Cedar Park, Texas. $600 cash. 3-inch Pippa. For more information, sell Alfredo. What is a Pippa?
I don't know what a Pippa is.
Is that a cart term?
I don't. No, I have no idea. But it's only 3 inches. That's a tiny buggy. I don't know what kind of pony you're going to put in that thing. It's a really tiny.
I thought you were going to be like, oh, the Pippa is the so-and-so character.
No, I have no idea what a Pippa is.
Oh, okay.
Is that a Spanish term or something? Yeah. Oh, Alfredo, is that Spanish or Italian? I'm not sure.
Just because it's an Italian dish doesn't mean it's Italian. That's hilarious.
The only Alfredo I know is the sauce you put on noodles. I don't know.
My name is Alfredo. Alfredo. I like a fettuccine.
It is a cheesy ad. Misty West sent in the following one. Feral boar hog for sale or trade, $150 in Indiana, Pennsylvania. I have a feral boar hog that is about 150 pounds. My hog's bloodline comes from the wild. The feral hog is known as naturally a lean meat hog. I thought they'd be a little tough. This pig was born in captivity, though he did spend about 8 weeks in the wild after he escaped. But he is now recaptured and is awaiting a new home. He is friendly and comes when he is called to get his ear scratched. Oh, great. I would sell him for $150 cash or trade, even for a large pony, a donkey, or a mule. Buyer is responsible for hauling. Okay, who's going to trade a large donkey, pony, or mule for a feral hog? I
got to back up even further. Sorry. A feral boar hog, does that mean that you caught this pig and you put it in a pen and now you've got it broke to scratching its ears and everything and now you're going to sell it or trade it for somebody to slaughter it when you've basically joined up with it and made it your pet?
I don't think feral hogs are ever your pet. I'm not sure they're ever your pet. Did you see the video I posted yesterday of the minis that do not like when the hog comes into it? That was so funny. This hog, this wild pig, which are ugly beasts, comes running up into these minis' feet pasture, and these minis take off and chase that thing down. Their little legs were going 100 miles an hour.
I felt so bad for that pig. It just wanted out. It just wanted out. It was like, leave me alone. I'm trying to get out. And it couldn't get out into the fence, and it kept running into the fence. I felt actually really bad. Those minis had a lot of fun. Yes, for a pig. I'm a vegan. We feel bad for pigs. And they can call this feral hog. They call it. It comes when it's called, and it gets its ear scratched. Poor little thing. All right, I gotta. That's a terrible thing. It's a terrible ad. Poor little piggy. He was born in captivity, and then he
escaped.
You
know, they encourage you to shoot wild pigs, right? In Florida and Texas and Georgia,
you can encourage me all you want. Ain't gonna happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful Arabia. Oh, that's yours. You get the next.
It's mine. It's mine. All right.
I had an ugly wild pig, and you have a beautiful Arabian horse.
Beautiful with two L's. Beautiful. This is in Morningview, Kentucky. Oh, that's Kentucky. We got to use a little bit of a southern accent. This is from A.K. Smith, who never puts her name on the ad. She just puts her email address. Put your name on there, honey, so I can talk to you. All right. Beautiful Arabian horse. I have a beautiful Arabian horse for sale. Oh, this is all one sentence. I have a beautiful Arabian horse for sale. She brown with black socks on one of her back feet. She has a white mark. She's little and so strong. She walked it up and down the mountains, and she ran distance. If you put a kid on her, she will stay calm, but you get on her and give her a little kick and yell, y'all, she run like the wind. All right, y'all give her a little kick, and y'all, she run like the wind, smiley face. She's an amazing horse and would love to be in your family. Sadly, I need a car so I have to sell her. So please, y'all, come check her out. Send me an email or give me a text or a call. Her name is Cece. I might do some trading on her. A nice, oh, my God. I might do some trading on her, or maybe an AR-15 or an AK-47, AK-74, any sort of battle rifle, maybe a truck or something. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
I had read that one earlier. I couldn't wait till you got to that part.
Oh, my God. Nice AR-15 or AK-47, a battle rifle, maybe a truck. Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
How about a Corvette? We could fix her up with a beautiful Corvette.
Beautiful Corvette.
And maybe an AK-47 to add to it.
Oh, well, I'm glad I don't. Yeah, there's a reason I don't read these ahead of time. I don't want to know. I just want to read it as is.
I was so waiting for you to get to that. Well, you know, Kentucky is the only state in the union that has a machine gun festival. So yeah, there's that.
You know what, though? I got to say, I love that I initially thought it was this sweet little girl selling her beautiful Arabian horse, and she's just going swelling. She's a little strong.
Well,
she's able to
get
off the trade for a freaking battle rifle.
It is Kentucky. By the way, this isn't too far above Lexington, believe it or not. It's not out in the mountains where you expected it to be. Morning View is not too far above it's between Lexington and Cincinnati.
Oh,
anyway, so now do you think it was a guy or a girl selling the beautiful Arabian?
I don't think guys say a beautiful Arabian. No, I think it's still a girl. I think this is a really tough-ass chick that's selling her horse like crazy.
Don't rip her off, though. She owns guns. Kayla, by the way, thank you, A.K. Smith, for sending that in. Kayla sent the following one in. It's short and sweet. Appaloosa, A-P-A-L-U-S-A, Appaloosa gelding, five-year-old, $800 in Napa County. He's a five-year-old gelding Appaloosa, very nice horse. He's a writable horse. That's right, writable. He rids good in a snaffle, in a snuffle bit. He rids good in a snuffle bit. For more information, contact, make an offer. So he's a writable horse, W-R-I-T. He rids good in a snuffle bit.
He's an Appaloosa.
An Appaloosa. He pretty much didn't have any part of that ad right. It was pretty much just all wrong in Napa County.
You know what? As I've been looking for a good snuffle bit, so maybe I should contact him.
You know, they're getting very popular now. I heard Myler's making them.
Myler snuffle bits? Yeah. I heard about that.
That's a California ad, by the way.
I don't think Napa County is Napa Valley. So
I looked it up. It's right above Los Angeles. It's Napa County. It's right above Los Angeles. Geez.
Well, Napa Valley is up by San Francisco, so not the same Napa.
No.
Okay. Lindsay sent in the next one. Two Tennessee walking horses reduced for $1,200. I have two Tennessee walking horses that I would like to sell. Only reason, just got a new horse, and we just had a baby, so my wife isn't riding right now, so we don't have time to ride them all. They are father and son, and they get along great. The father is child safe and bomb-proof, and you can ride him right down the center of the highway in par days, trail rides, no worries. The young horse is broke to ride, but we'll need an intermediate-level rider, as he's still a little spunky. Never offered to bite or kick, just likes to take off every now and then, and doesn't do well in traffic, but he's learning. Both really sweet horse and love attention walk right up to you in the pasture. Shoot me an email or text, maybe interested in throwing in a saddle and pad at full price for the pair. Thanks. It just maybe takes off.
Maybe. It's only done that 10 or 20 times. The other 10 or 20 times were fine. We were fine those
fine.
times. Oh, man. Ellen sent in the following one. It's our horse trailer of the week. And it is a classic. Let me describe it first. What they have done, then I'll read the ad because it'll make more sense to you or not. They've taken a rounded front horse trailer and they've cut it in half. the front part where the round part is, where you usually keep, you know, where you usually throw your hay and stuff, they've cut that in half, so it's only about half the height it was before. And then the whole back part where the horses are, they've removed that completely. So what they have done is they've kind of made this kind of a hauling vehicle, and this is what the ad says. Horse trailer made into a trailer, $600, in Chesterfield, New Hampshire. And there's not plenty of snow, so you know it's from New Hampshire. I got a horse trailer converted into a trailer. It's cool looking. Needs four new tires. It has good size storage spot to keep stuff dry. Trailer needs work. Frame is solid. Needs doors. Thanks. Where exactly, Jamie, on this lack of a trailer, would you put the doors? I'm not sure where.
It needs a whole lot more than doors. It doesn't have walls. It doesn't have a ceiling.
It doesn't have walls or a ceiling. I'm not sure where you'd put doors. I'm not sure what you're connecting to.
I don't even understand what I'm looking at. I don't
even
get it.
It's very odd. It's a very odd trailer. Jennifer will post it on our Facebook page at horsesinthemorning.com. It is very odd.
Wow. That's terrible. I don't even know what I'm looking at. And it needs a lot more than that. Plus, you got to dig it out of the snow.
No, yeah. You have to try and get it. It's a good thing. It needs tires and a floor and doors. But it's other than that, it's fine.
And walls and a ceiling, but nobody's really keeping track.
Yeah.
And lights and electricity.
It's only $600.
Yeah, exactly. What a deal. Beth sent in the next one. It's a theme. We've got horses for $1,200 selling together, and that's like the Tennessee Walking Horses up above. Same thing. Horses, $1,200 in Champlain, New York. How do you pronounce that? Champlain? Champaign? Champlain? I don't know.
I always say Champlain. Champlain.
Champlain. New York. Two horses selling together, $1,200 for both. Wow, what a deal. First off, for $600 basically, you get Charlie. Charlie is a 27-year-old Morgan Quarter Horse gelding. He's 15 hands, up to date on the shots. Here is a kind, gentle horse that loves to go for a ride. He was used for horse rides for many children's events. Charlie gets very fuzzy in the winter. Is that a selling point?
I guess. It's good if you live in the north. If you live
probably
in New York, it's probably a good thing. Less blankets.
I guess. All right. And Skye. Skye is a 15-year-old chestnut quarter horse gelding. He stands about 15 hands as well. He is also up to date on his shots. He can be a big baby, but loves to learn new things. Guy loves to wear hats.
Like hats? Like human hats?
This is probably just the stuff you really didn't need to know about these horses. To like, oh, I've always wanted a horse that wanted to wear hats. All right, let me finish the ad. Hats. Charlie and Skye were used last summer for a photo shoot for a couple who worked on cruises to show the passengers what like life off the boat is like sometimes. I'm attaching the photos of them so you can see the evidence that these two horses love wearing hats.
I never knew that was a selling point. I
didn't either. I'd like my kid to wear a hat because it's freaking bright out here and sun, but I can't imagine wanting my horse to wear a hat. Plus, I started thinking, you're going to be buying a 27-year-old horse, and then I realized it's Morgan. He's probably going to live till about 56. So Morgan's
that's right.
So
Morgan
probably a good deal.
That's funny. Thank you for that, Beth. Tracy sent in the following one. Ranch horse / cowgirl included, $1.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Nice 9-year-old registered sound, calm finished, head to heel, horse gentle for any rider, 15.3 hands, $4,500. My girlfriend says if I sell him, she's leaving, so she's included in the package deal.
That's opposite of what it usually is, because usually it's my girlfriend says my horse has got to go, so I'm selling the girlfriend.
That's right. I wonder if you can buy the girlfriend without the horse in this one. I don't know. He probably would, I would think. Well, I'm just asking. I mean,
she's probably trading the horse for an AK-47, so you better watch out. Well done.
I was just asking. You know, it's the next question that comes up. Maybe I don't want the horse. But he is in a hurry to get rid of the girlfriend, too. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't want the girlfriend either.
You don't want that girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good deal. Pretty good deal.
Only in Susan, Tom.
Yeah, Susan sent in the next one, manure pile, free to good home. Gosh, it's all in the title. It's all in the title. What a genius. I need to write that. Manure and dumpster, free to good home. Come and get it. And this is in Kettering. Our manure pile is looking for a new home, though we know it will never really completely leave our hearts or our home. We do believe that it is in our best interest if it helps spread roots elsewhere. That is a really beautifully written farewell to a pile of crap.
A manure pile.
I'm gonna say the S
considering
word.
We're giving away a Flex and Fork from Equity today, it's perfect. You can use your Flex and Fork to load your manure pile right
it
there.
Is.
Thank you, Susan. Paige sent us the last one of the day. Horses, $600. Horse my air, not train dead. Just come get, does not trailer you catch. Horse gooding, I trained a bit but not sound. You take satel too, may be pregnant, stays out with other horses.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God.
You get a satel. You get a horse glooding, and you get a horse mare, and they're not trained, and they probably won't load in the trailer. But that's okay. It's pregnant. It's perfect.
And they want $600 for this thing. It's maybe a two-for-one deal. I don't understand the word gelding, which I'm assuming is gelding. It says horse gelding. I trained a bit, but not sound. Maybe pregnant. How is a gelding pregnant?
Just don't try and explain it, Jamie.
Okay.
Isn't Bakersfield in California, too? They're well represented today.
Wow.
You know, it's not Florida. Yay! For a change, it's not Florida or Arizona. We're off the hook today, Jamie.
There was no Florida, no Arizona.
Right. It's a good day for us. It's usually all Florida and all Arizona. It's a good day. Well, you guys, I'll get Diane on here, and we'll do the drawing for the Flex and Fork, and you and Jennifer think over who you want to give the box of crap for today's winner to.
We got it.
We have Diane Burkno on here from EquityMFG.com. Hi, Diane.
Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi, Jamie. I'm good. How about you, too?
Hey, do you need any more crap? There's somebody you can take it for free. We just did the ad.
Yes, I have plenty.
You know,
get home.
We should assure people that the people who invented the Flex and Fork and the Shake and Fork actually have horses and piles of crap. Isn't that true?
That is true. We have, I think, 12 horses here right now. So,
what kind
do
you have?
I have everything from a tiny little miniature horse to an Andalusian stallion, but they're not all ours. So,
Jamie's just drooling now. She's thinking about Andalusians. Now we won't get her back for the rest of the show.
Oh,
she'll
God.
Be done. She's gonna be done.
I want one so bad. Someday,
well,
when I'm 50.
Weren't you under Arabians at one time, though? I remember that.
I was, but I have a half Arab, half Andalusian mare. That's the only Arab I have left.
Why'd you abandon the Arabs?
Because when I got to a certain age, I was tired of riding a hot horse, and somebody suggested I breed my Arabs to an Andalusian. So that was how that's back in 93.
And the rest is history.
Are they quiet? As a breed, the two combined, what do we call them, by the way? Do they have a clever name? We need to come up with a clever name. An Andalara? Is it?
They have one. A Hispano Arab.
No. That's terrible.
A boring name. We need to come up with a better one than that. All right. You got to think about that. It's an Arab and an Andalusian. So, Jamie, work on that for us. We need our own name for that. Well, so they are, did they get the brain of the Andalusian?
You know, it depended on the most of the time they all had the Andalusian temperament, yes. but bigger than an, bigger than your average Arab. Actually, they make a nice cross. So,
it's
an Ambien.
What is it?
Just like the pill. It's Ambien.
Oh, there we go. I like that. What's Ambien do again? The pill. What's the pill do again?
Put you to sleep.
Sleeping pill.
She breeds Ambien.
Yeah. Actually, the person I sold my very first Andalusian Arab cross to about 16 years ago just emailed me and asked if I had any more for sale because they like her so much, and now she's 19. They wanted another one. But
isn't that interesting? Well, cool. You invented a new breed, Ambien.
Yeah, the Ambien.
I'm sure that the pharmaceutical company won't be suing you anytime soon for using that name. Well, we have serious business to do here today, don't we? We're going to have a winner of a fabulous Flex and Fork. And we're going to pick now, Diane. We're going to choose between the numbers 1 and 126. Jennifer, are you ready?
I am.
A spreadsheet with everybody that submitted ads. There were 126 different people this month. So she has a spreadsheet, and she's going to look at the spreadsheet, which matches with the number, and that'll be the winner of the Flex and Fork. All right, Diane. Pick
okay.
We need a drum roll.
Number 47.
47. Our winner is the girl with the best name in the whole list, Genevieve DeClercq. Woohoo!
Genevieve DeClercq. That's a pretty name. Well, Genevieve, you're going to have a Flex and Fork to go with your pretty name. And if you don't have any manure shovel, we have an ad for you because we know where you can go get some. So if you want to practice, you can do it at our house or at this ad's house. It'll be either one. Well, thank you again so much, Diane, for joining us. We appreciate you joining us every month. Of course, what we're doing is we're giving away a Flex and Fork every month, and then at the end of the year, we're giving away a Shake and Fork, and what we're going to do is take the names of everybody who's submitted all year long, and then we're going to pick one for the Shake and Fork, and that has almost a $300 value. So we're looking forward to that and to visiting with you every single month, you and your Ambiens. Will you post a picture of one of your Ambiens on our Facebook page today?
I will try to do so, yes.
Okay, good. And it would even be better if you were on it, because I don't know that we've seen a lot of pictures of you either. So we want a picture of you on an Ambien.
On an Ambien. Okay.
Jamie,
all
you're
right,
good at it.
Sounds good.
That's good. All right, thanks. Thanks a lot,
Thank
Diane.
Thank
you. Of course,
bye, Jamie.
And...
bye.
Equity.
Bye, Glenn.
By equitymfg.com is the website. You're really good at that name and breed thing.
That's what I do. Some people have real skills. Some people have not real skills. And I have the not real skills.
Some people have marketable skills they can actually make money at.
Exactly. And then there's me.
Who sits here. You made $10 today.
Oh, my gosh, I did. Thank you for reminding me. Jennifer, I hope that will be included in my next check because the farrier,
he
actually dropped some knowledge, too, and he said he'd seen it more than once. It was pretty impressive.
I was convinced he had never seen it. I really was. I was just convinced he had never seen that movie, but oh, well, I was wrong. Am I the only horse person in the world that's never seen it?
How have you not seen that movie? I don't understand. God, yes, you are the only horse person.
No,
in the
I'm
world.
Not, because I don't think Jennifer's ever seen it. You've never seen it either, have you, Jennifer?
I've seen the entire movie in 12 to 15 minute bits here and there several times.
Should be ashamed of yourself. Should be ashamed of yourself, both of you. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
I'm going to read it to you. Is what I'm going to do, just like Black Beauty.
Oh no! Is it a book too?
I know, but I can do the exact lines from the movie one at a time. I can do the whole movie without even watching it. So I will sit here and make you listen to me do the dialogue with Australian accents included. So watch out.
I'm going to tell you something funny. Wendy was here over the weekend, and of course we had the girls here from Wisconsin, and we had other listeners that came over also on Saturday night. So we had a party here at the farm. And Wendy had a little bit to drink, and after she started drinking a little bit, she started telling our listeners about how when she started listening to the Horses in the Morning show and how Jamie was reading that god-awful book and how she hated that. She used to turn it off for about 5 minutes to be sure Jamie was done reading that god-awful book, and then she would turn it back on. So that's what Wendy thought of your reading.
There is no way that a woman who is a veterinarian that is holistic like she is does not love that book. You're lying right
now. Hated that book. She hated that book, along with me. We were in that
You know what I'm going to do is I just found the book, refound it, because I've been reading it to Lucas, and I don't think you guys remember how wonderful The Velveteen Rabbit is, and I'm going to read that. If you want to hear me read The Velveteen Rabbit to you, please send me an email or post it on our Facebook page, because it is a beautiful story, and there's a horse in it. So we need to – it's out. It's readable, Glenn.
I don't even know what that is, so, you know, I have no opinion.
God, you have no class. Just no class.
But I watch every episode of Big Bang religiously.
Exactly. That's what's wrong with this world. That is what is wrong with this world. This show is over. Let's end this. I will talk to you again Wednesday. Have a great time at Road to the Horse. Drive
we
to Kentucky.
Will.
Sleep. Do whatever
you
want to do.
Week.
Bay Neuter Geld. I love you guys.
All right, take care, Jamie. Have a good weekend.
Well, you too, I'm Stella.
Oh,
yeah. That'll happen. Sleep in the car. Sleep when I drive. Oh, yeah. I'll be back on Tuesday. Sorry, I was wrong.